day you give us. Thank you for Jay. Thank you for his willingness to be here. Lord, I pray that you just bless him and anoint him with your words. And as he shares with us, that our hearts may be open and that we may hear your words, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you and to share with you this morning. Good to see so many smiling faces in the house well filled today. What a blessing it is as believers to gather together and to worship and sing and praise our Father for what He's done for us. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, we get up and this morning, it's easy to maybe to praise God when it's sunshiny. It's just a beautiful morning. But the sun isn't always shining. Sometimes it's rainy. Sometimes it's dreary. You know, maybe that's a picture of our lives because we're on this journey of life. And we face all kinds of things along the way. And we never know what's all out ahead. But this morning, I want to remind us that God has a plan. He is in control. And He's not forgotten about us. He cares about everything that you and I face in life. It would be my prayer this morning that this message would be an encouragement to us today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the first 9 verses. And maybe if I would just give you an overview of this chapter here, it would be this: God is faithful. God has a plan. Do not fear. Now, that's not going to be our points this morning. But again, as I read this chapter, the first chapter of Joshua here, the first 9 verses, God is faithful. God has a plan. Do not fear. But maybe a little background, and we're going to jump right into the message here. But maybe a little bit of background. Here in Joshua, we have an extremely significant passage of Scripture. It was a crucial time for God's people. In fact, here, this first chapter of Joshua represents a monumental time in history. You see, God made a covenant. He made a promise to Abraham back in Genesis 15. Remember what God did? He took Abram outside and He said, "Look up at the stars. Can you count them?" And He said, "So that's what your descendants are going to be like." And then a little bit further in that passage, He says, "You see this land? I'm going to give you this land." He made a promise. He made a covenant to Abraham. And as we fast forward, we know the story, how they were enslaved in Egypt. And how Moses came on the scene. And how Moses led the children of Israel into Exodus. Now here we are, 40 years after that. And here's Joshua standing on the banks of that Jordan River. Can you imagine what must have been going through his mind at that time? I can't imagine all the thoughts that he must have been thinking as he stood there on the banks of that Jordan River. Moses had died, and Israel is about to enter into the land that was promised them 700 years previously. Again, I can't imagine what all Joshua must have been feeling at that moment. The anticipation of entering a land that God had promised His people. I'm sure he had to remember 40 years previously how he, along with the other 11 spies, were sent into the land to spy it out. Remember the account? The 12 spies went into the land. 10 came back with a bad report. They said, "You know what? It's a great land, but there's too many obstacles to get in the way. And we don't think we can do this." But what did Joshua and Caleb say? They said, "With God's help, we can possess it. We can take it with God's help." Of course, we know the story, what happened, how the 10 spies turned the hearts of the people to fear. And they didn't enter into the land. You know the story. And they wandered in the desert for 40 plus years. Now here we are today. Joshua is standing on the banks of that Jordan River. And God is going to commission him to enter into the promised land. You see, Moses had died. You know, and now Joshua has called to lead these people. Talk about big shoes to fill. Here he is standing on the banks of that Jordan River. And you know what? God is right there with him. He is right there beside him to guide him, to lead him to enter into that promised land. And in this passage this morning, in a sense, we get to listen to the conversation that God has with Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 verses. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. You may be seated. As I look at this passage, the very first verse there, said after the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua. You know, I couldn't help but think today, there are so many voices that are trying to get our attention. So many different voices. And as a church, I just want to encourage us. You know what? We need to be listening to the voice of God in our lives. Appreciated the last song that we sang. I will be somewhere listening to His name. Is that your heart this morning? That you are listening to the voice of God in your life. But the Lord spoke to Joshua. We need to be listening to the voice of God in our lives. But as I look at these first two verses, the first point that I want to give you this morning, and I have 6 points in this message that I want to share with you this morning. The first point is God's plan. If you're taking notes, God's plan. Because you see, God had a plan here. God had a plan. In fact, not one detail is taking place here that has caught God by surprise. You know, if I was the children of Israel, and here we are, you know, Moses has died, I want to say, God, man, what timing is that? Here we are, we're at this critical junction in our lives. We're ready to cross into the land that you promised us, and now our leader dies. I mean, God, it seems like, what timing is that? Why would God, I mean, it would seem like, Maybe things are out of control. God, what are you doing? But you know what? God had a plan. He had a plan. And not one detail took place here that caught God by surprise. You know, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. It was all a part of God's plan. Moses had died. It was all a part of God's plan. Joshua was commissioned. He was called to be the new leader. It was all a part of God's plan. They were going to cross the Jordan River and enter into the land that was promised them. Again, it was all a part of God's plan. And I wanted to see this morning that when it seems like things are out of control and we don't know what to do or what's going to happen next, I'm going to remind us that God is actively working. He has a plan. And I couldn't help but think in our lives today, I wish I could tell you that life is always easy and that we wouldn't face obstacles. You know, and sometimes we face things in our personal lives or maybe in our families and maybe sometimes even in the church. And it seems like things are out of control. And it seems like, God, what are you doing? I want to remind us this morning that God has not forgotten about us. He is actively working. He has a plan. He is actively working in our lives. You see, God has called Joshua to step out in faith. And God is preparing His people. He is preparing His people for something that will result in His good and for His glory, but also for their benefit. Question, what is God preparing you for at this moment in your life? What is He preparing you for? What are you doing with your heart today that when God calls you or when He places something scary in front of you, maybe intimidating in front of you, so that you are prepared to step out in faith and to trust Him? We will continue to face situations in all of life where we don't know what's out ahead. And sometimes it seems like, again, God, what are you doing? We face things that seem like it's out of control. And we don't know what's ahead. But I want to ask us this morning, are we people of faith? Are you a person of faith this morning? Are you walking by faith in your spiritual journey, in your life? You know, faithlessness is, let's go back to where it's safe. You know, they could have said, so many times we've seen that in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. God had a plan. He was leading them forward. And they would say, let's go back. Let's take a step back. Sometimes Satan does that to us. We have stepped out as believers. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And sometimes, you know what? Satan, our enemy, comes and says, you know what? Is this really worth it? Is the Christian life really worth it? And sometimes we want to take a step back. No. Faithfulness is moving forward to how God is working and how He's leading. Faithfulness. May we be faithful people, faithful believers. You see, God is faithful. We can trust Him. God is actively working. So here in the first two verses, we see that God has a plan. The second point that I would give you this morning is God's provision. God's provision here in verses 3 and 4. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. I have given you. Notice the verb tense. I have given you. It's like it already happened. It's like God executing His will here. He says, I have given you. Now remember, they're still on this side of the Jordan, right? God said, Joshua, it's already done. It's a done deal. I have given this to you. As I was with Moses, He says, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Again, it's like the divine provision of God for His people. Every place that you tread upon, I have given you. The execution of God's will. Here He says, He points back to, He reminds Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Do you know what God is saying here? He's saying, Joshua, look in my faithfulness. Look how I led Moses. Look in my faithfulness. Look at my character. He's reminding Joshua that his very reputation is at stake. He's reminding Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, I am Yahweh. I am your God. I will lead you. I will direct you. Look to me. Trust me. That's a message that we need to hear today as believers. We can look to God. He is faithful. He will guide us. He will lead us. We need to be listening for His voice. He will guide us. He will lead us. Question. Do you see the provisions of God in your life? As radical New Testament believers, do you see the provision of God in your life? 2 Peter. I'm going to turn to that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The heading of my Bible is the development of faith, the growth of faith. It says this, according to His divine power, whose power is it talking about here? God's power. According to His divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Talk about the promises of God. Do we believe that this morning? Can you trust a divine power in your life? Do we believe that God has given us all things? You know, so many times, again, there's so many places we can turn to. Are you turning to God? Christ has promised us all things. According to His divine power, has given us all things. Again, do you see the provision of God in your life? If you're not a believer this morning, first and foremost, the provision of God is His Son, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ came and lived here on this earth a sinless life, He gave His life so that you and I can experience relationship with the Father and that we can be promised that home in heaven. The provision of God. He has promised us. Do we understand that God has made provision for us? As radical New Testament believers, God has given us the Holy Spirit, who not only Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would come upon men at certain times and, you know, kind of empower them, but He would leave. New Testament believers, the Holy Spirit is with us. He is with us each and every step of the way. He doesn't leave us. He is there to guide us, to direct us. Talk about the provision of God in our life. Wow. God is faithful. He provides for His people. So we see that God has a plan. We see God's provision. And next, I want to look at God's promise. God's promises. Look at verse 5. But also, maybe I should turn back to Joshua. Verse 5 in Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you. Can it get any clearer than that for Joshua? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Promise. I will not leave you. Promise. I will not forsake you. Promise. Do you see the promises of God given to Joshua here? Those promises are for us today, believer. They are for us today. God has made so many promises to us. I have a paper at home. I don't have it with me. It has the promises of God. And it's like a whole sheet. And 3/4 of the next page, just promises spoken to us as believers. The promises of God. Do we believe God's promises? You know, it's like God is really trying to get Joshua's attention here. And, you know, reminding Joshua that I will be with you every step of the way. And Joshua, you can trust me. Now, question. You know, here's God giving Joshua all these promises. Does God ever leave you? Does he ever forsake you? You know, sometimes it feels like it. It feels like, God, where are you at? And maybe we ask that question in our minds. But I want to remind us this morning that the feeling of God leaving you or forsaking you doesn't lie in the character of God. It doesn't. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You see, Jesus is with us till the day that we die. You know, if we could just wrap our mind around that thought, that the Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, we get the Holy Spirit. And he is with us till the day that we die. Or he comes back. Matthew 28, in the Great Commission there, 19 and 20. He ends that Great Commission saying, lo, I am with you always. Are you living your life in such a way that you demonstrate that promise? Think about this. What does that promise produce in a person, in the life of a believer, when it is lived out, when it is believed? It produces confidence and assurance. It produces belief and victory. God's plan, God's provision, God's promise, and now God's prerequisite. That didn't come out right, did it? Prerequisite. In verse 6. Now, a prerequisite is this. A prerequisite is a prior condition. Something required in advance for something else to happen. Okay? Prerequisite. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and of good courage. You know what God is reminding him here? He's saying, Joshua, I've given you a plan. I've made provisions for you. I've given you promises. Now, Joshua, you, Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Move forward. Be strong. Be courageous. I've told you that I won't leave you. I told you that I'll be with you every step of the way. I told you my plan. Now, Joshua, you, be strong, be courageous. I've given you my plan. I've given you my promises. I've given you my provisions. Now, Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Three times in this passage, God tells Joshua, be strong and be courageous. You see, God was trying to get his attention. He was trying to tell him something. Be strong, be courageous. The call to be strong and courageous is sandwiched between the promises that God will be with him. You know, if I'm Joshua, I'm thinking, okay, God, yeah, be strong and be courageous. You're promising us this land before we ever cross the Jordan River. But God, I mean, I would have been fearful, just to be very frank. I think I would have been fearful. God, did you forget about there's seven nations over there waiting to take our heads off? Oh, yeah, and we still got to get across the Jordan River. And, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. I think I would have been fearful. But God says, do not fear, but be fearless. You see, well, God's reputation is at stake. He's saying, I promised you. He even says, I swore to you. You know, if God's word isn't enough, he says, I swore to you that this land will be for you. God couldn't have been any more clear. He's saying my reputation is at stake. And you know, when I think about the changing of guard, when I think about Moses passing away and Joshua coming on and leading the children of Israel, it's the passing of an heir, but not the ending of a promise. It's the passing of an heir, but not the ending of a promise. Think for a moment on what God did not tell Joshua in this passage. God did not say, you know, Joshua, you just look within yourself because you're such a strong leader and you're such a good man. Just look within yourself and you can do this. God does not say that. God doesn't tell Joshua to be confident. He says, don't be fearful. But he says, don't be confident. He says, hey, look to me. Trust me. Look for my provision, Joshua. It's not on your own strength. Don't be confident. God calls Joshua to remember his promises, his character, and to remember the provision that God had provided for them in the past. Oh, how many times in our lives, when we face an obstacle, we face a situation in our life, and it seems like, you know what, God, what is taking place here? You know what I fail to do? Take a step back and look at all the times God has been faithful. As believers, we've all had those experiences in our lives where we knew God gave us direction, where we knew He was leading, where we knew it was God. But here I am facing something today, and I forget about those times, and I say, God, where are you at? We can trust God. We need to look back on how He has provided for us in the past, how He has answered our prayers. We can put our confidence in our Father. Here, we see that Joshua cannot move forward timid and afraid. And believer, I want to suggest to you, neither can you. We cannot move forward in our Christian lives timid and afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Believer, are you timid? Are you fearful? If so, you can be assured that that's not from God. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, "I will never leave you." Jesus' words to us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not fear.'" We don't have time to turn to this, but just a side note for you, you can check it out. Revelations 21, the very ending of Revelations, next to the last chapter, verses 7 and 8. In that passage, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth coming down. And it talks about the enemy being cast out. But it also gives a description. It gives a description of the ones that are cast into the lake of fire. Do you know what the very first description is? The fearful. King James uses the word fearful. New King James says cowardly. The fearful. The first description of those cast into the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but that causes me to pause and say, you know what? Whenever I face something scary, whenever I face something intimidating, I don't want to be a coward. I don't want to be fearful. I want to move forward and allow God to show me the way. Each and every step of the way. I don't want to be described as cowardly or fearful. Moving on. God's plan, God's provision, God's promise, God's prerequisite, and now God's precepts. Point number 5, God's precepts. What is God? Do you see what God is communicating? Let me say it this way. What God is communicating to Joshua in this passage is exactly what Joshua needed to hear at that moment. And I believe this passage for us this morning is what we as believers need to hear today. Listen to what God said in verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous." He adds the intensifier there. "Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God commands Joshua to obey his word and points him to the law, to walk in obedience. He says, do not turn from it. Don't turn to the left hand. Don't turn to the right hand. Obey my word. You see, the success of Joshua's mission would lie in his personal obedience to what God was telling him to do. His personal obedience to the law. Joshua is being commissioned by God and is receiving direct revelation from God. And you know what God is telling him? God is telling me, look at my word, look at my law, look what I have given you. He tells Joshua to look at my word, to look at my law, and to obey it. He doesn't tell him to look for some kind of emotional experience. He doesn't say, watch out for a sign, although God had done that sometimes in the past. He tells Joshua, look at my word and obey it. Obey what I have given you. In this passage, we see the priority it was to have in Joshua's life. And if this is true for Joshua, it is true for us today. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. Obey it. Spurgeon said, Bibles that are falling apart usually belong to people who are not. I like that. Here in verse 7 and 8, it starts with obedience and ends with obedience to God's word. As it was for Joshua, it's just as important for us today. You know, I trust that your heart desire is to be biblical, to stand on the authority of God's holy word. And you know, as I look out across here this morning, I trust that you know what it means to be radically born again. I'm not talking about knowing who God is. I'm talking about knowing God. I'm talking about a transformed life by the power of Jesus Christ. Too many times I meet people, they know all about God, but they're not experiencing that transforming power of Jesus Christ in their life. I trust that you are radically saved this morning. You know God. As believers, if you are called to a place of radical belief, I'll remind us this morning that we're also called to a place of radical obedience to God's word. What priority does God's word have on your life? How is it affecting you? What priority does God's word have in your life? How important is it to you? May we be committed as a church. May we be committed to not only reading God's word, but obeying it, applying it in our lives, walking in obedience. I trust that we would have that zeal, that enthusiasm to come under the authority of God's word. You see, through God's word, Joshua would receive direction, motivation, instruction, comfort, and exhortation. All of these are found in God's holy word. What is the best way to be obedient to God's holy word? What does he say here in verse 8? Do not let it depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it. Don't let it depart from your mouth, but meditate it. In other words, it should be a part of you. It should be in you. You know, when I think about meditation, that's not a quick just reading God's word. You know, sometimes I just kind of quick read my chapter for the day or maybe. But meditation is taking that, slowly reading it and thinking about, God, what are you saying? Rereading it in my mind. Slowly reading, listening to what God's word is saying. In the Hebrew language, Meditate means to chew, digest, allow it to become a part of your very being. It's something more than just a quick reading of God's word. I need to confess to you that it's difficult for me to do that, just to take time to meditate. You know, when you're on to preach, and I'm sure the men here can identify with what I'm going to say, when you're on to preach and you've got to study that word, and sometimes I print it out. And I take it with me in the truck, and I'll read that in a number of different translations, and I just keep rereading it and rereading it and processing those verses. It's amazing what happens. But I can be guilty of doing that, yeah, when I'm on, I got a responsibility. But what if I approach God's word like that on a regular basis? Meditate. God's word needs to be in you. It needs to be in me. It needs to be a part of who we are. The importance of God's word. God's word is a gold mine. The more you meditate, the more goodness you get out of it. Someone has said, pebbles are found on the surface, but if you want a diamond, you got to dig deep. God's word is powerful. God's word is powerful. This is our roadmap for life. God has given us his holy word. Are you allowing God's word to direct your life? Who you are today, your future. Oh, the importance of God's holy word. Just a few verses in the New Testament talking about the importance of God's word. New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Sometimes I like the Amplified because it's not really a translation, but it just add some more words, more description to make it come alive. The Amplified puts it this way, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study and be eager, and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Wow. What's the purpose? Because when we meditate on God's word, it changes us. It changes us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error in discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, thought, purpose, and action. So that, why? So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow, I like that. Talk about the importance of God's word. I want to encourage us this morning that we walk in obedience to God's word, that we meditate on it, that we determine to base our life on the written word of God. Dig deep into God's word. Study it, read it, and by all means, obey it. Something else that I want to show us in this passage that I think is very important. And that is in verse 8. In verse 8, he says, do not, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What does God mean by that? What is he saying? Then you will be prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, I don't believe he's talking about financial success. I really don't believe this is the health and wealth prosperity gospel. I don't think that's what God is saying here. I don't believe that's what God is saying. I don't believe that God is telling Joshua that when you get into the promised land, that you're going to live in palaces and life is going to be ease and you're going to have all this stuff. I don't think that's what God was saying here to Joshua. Success here is Joshua knowing and doing the will of God at that moment in his life. That, I believe, is biblical success. Knowing and doing what God's word is asking me to do. God did not tell everyone to cross over the Jordan, enter the promised land, and you'll live a life of ease and luxury, and you'll have all these things, earthly reward and influence. God has said, my will for my people at this time is to cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land. And if you know this and act upon it and are obedient to me, then you will be successful. If you act upon my word, you will be aligned with my will. If you act on my word, you will be obedient. You will be aligned with my will. If you listen to what I say and do what I say, you will be aligned with my will. And that, I believe, is biblical success. Knowing and doing what God asked us to do at that moment in our lives. It is saying yes to the little things in life. Sometimes, you know what, we come to these major crossroads, we've got to make these big decisions, and we're crying out to God, you know, would you direct me? Holy Spirit is right there. Too many times, I'm not following what He wants me to do in the little things. I'm not listening. I'm not listening. God wants to guide us. He wants to direct us every step of the way. He has given us the Holy Spirit to show us. Not just in the big decisions, but the little things in life. And if we want God to direct us in the big things of life, and amen, I want to be first in line. I need to be listening to His voice in the little things. Maybe they seem little, but maybe they're not so little. I need to do what God wants me to do. Biblical success is being what God wants you to be, doing what God puts in front of us at that moment, and saying yes. You know, we hear a lot about today about what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit and all of that. I just want to go on record to say that when you became a believer, you got all of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. You don't need something down the road. You don't need somebody to come and lay hands on you again. You've got all the Holy Spirit. The way, too many times, it's not us getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of me. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of us. Again, listening to His voice. What is God's will for you? What are you actively doing to align yourself with God's will? The clearest expression of God's will for you is found right here again in God's holy word. This is where you will find God's will for your life. Know it. Study it. Meditate on it. Speak it. And by all means, obey it. Live it. And you will find yourself experiencing success. God's success. Biblical success. We looked at God's plan, God's provision, God's promise, God's prerequisite, God's precepts. And the last one that I want to show you this morning is God's power. The power of God. Point number 6. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? You see, have I not commanded you? It's a rhetorical question. It's a question that demands a response from the listener. Have I not commanded you? I believe Joshua said, yes, God. I hear your voice. It's a question that demands a response. Have I not commanded you? Oh, yes, God. I hear your voice. Yes, God. I want to listen to what you ask me to do. God says, be strong, be courageous. I will be with you. You see, God's word demands a response from the listener. In this passage, we get to look ahead and see what happens after, or we get to, well, just what is it, chapter 3 there? Remember the account where they were commanded that the priest should step down into the water? Step into the water? You know, I don't know about you. Think about obedience and being willing to follow the little things that God asked them to do. I may have been one of those guys standing back from the edge, maybe a foot back, saying, okay, God, I'm waiting. God, I'm waiting. God gave very clear instructions. Step into the water. You say, what's the big deal? It was God's word. Step into the water. Later, what happened in Jericho? What happened in Jericho? Talk about the power of God. But they were given very specific direction on how to take down those walls. Very specific direction. You see, it was God's power and their obedience that brought down those walls. I want to remind us this morning that battles are not won by large armies, the quality of the weapons. They are not won on human strength. Battles are won by divine power. Question. What battles are you fighting right now? And what power are you looking to in that battle? God is saying, I am all powerful. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not fear. Trust me. I will be with you. If God is with us, who can be against us? You see, God did it. He went before them. He went before them. The power of God is greater than anything you and I will face in this life. Can I say that again? The power of God is greater than anything that you and I will face in this life. Are you experiencing the power of God in your life today? As a radical New Testament believer. I'd like everyone, let's just close our eyes and bow our heads and just come quietly before God this morning. Just want to ask a few questions for you to process in your own heart, in your own mind. What is God speaking into your heart this morning? What is he saying to you? Are you fearful? God is saying, be strong, be courageous. Do you understand? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? That he is actively working? Question. What is God preparing you for at this moment in your life? Maybe God is calling you to step out in faith, to trust him. Maybe God is calling you, he's showing you the importance of being obedient to God's holy word. Is it your desire to be biblical, to stand on the authority of God's holy word this morning, to walk in obedience? Maybe this morning, you just want to just say, yes, God, I hear your voice, and I want to base my life on your word, God, and I want to allow you. I want to trust your plan, your provision, your promises, your precepts. And God, I want to experience your power. Maybe this morning, God has spoken to your heart, and you just want to slip your hand up and say, yes, God, I hear your voice. Yeah, God, I want to be obedient. I hear your voice. And I want to commit this area to you. If that's your situation this morning, I just invite you to slip your hand up. If God's spoken to your heart, you feel like you want to say, yes, God, I hear your voice. And God, I want to follow you. Just slip your hand up, and I want to have a prayer for you. Yes. Thank you. Father, right now, I'm so thankful that we can call out to you, our Father. I'm so thankful, Father, you love and care for us so much that we can't even imagine. Father, I'm so thankful that in those times of our lives when it seems like things are out of control and we don't know what's ahead, But we can trust you because you have a plan and you have a purpose. Father, help us to see your provisions. Father, help us to latch on to the promises that you give us in your word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this, as we can look back in history to this monumental time and see how you led Joshua. And Father, may we apply these truths in our lives today as radical New Testament believers. Father, you know the hands that have been raised this morning. God, I pray that you would just reach down in a mighty way, Lord, and that you would touch each of these hearts. Father, whatever it is that they need from you, maybe it's assurance that you've not forgotten about them. I don't know, Father. Maybe it's just to say, yes, God, I want to be obedient to your word. Father, whatever it is that you've spoken to their hearts, God, I pray that you would just touch them in a mighty way. And Father, that we can move forward in trust, obedience, and victory because you are our God. And Father, if there's any battles that are being faced this morning from those that lifted their hands, and Father, they need that power of you, God, the power of God, Father, I ask that you would rain down that power in whatever it is that they are facing and that you would help them to win that battle. The victory is already won. Father, help them to sense your presence and your nearness and to walk forward by faith, trusting you. It is in the precious name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention.